Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well, ready and raring to go to solve the problems of the world. You know, things have changed a little bit since yesterday. Things were very, very sad. The markets were sad. There was a trade war going on, and NATO was going to disappear, and Donald Trump gave him a lecture. And the world's changed. It's turned around. They're happy. They're going to do exactly what he said. They're going to spend more money, and the military-industrial complexes of the world will get to build a lot more weapons. So it looks like his policies are working. I wonder if the Democrats are going to give him a lot of credit today. but the point I'm making is things are different today than they were yesterday. But sometimes the president can turn on a dime. You know, and I think some of that happened over this weekend. You know, he was really, really blasting Merkel. Then I think when he saw her, he said, said something very complimentary. So it's keeps people off guard, that's for sure.
It's true. And, he threatened to leave NATO in a strange way. But then he said, you had better up that spending to 2%. No, actually make that 4% and do it right now. And then he went out and said, they all agreed, no problem. And then when he left, Merkel and Macron said, what? We didn't agree to that. What's he talking about? So
and unfortunately, right now, a lot of people are getting look at the entertainment value, and policies are sort of lost in the mess. But you know, Trump is, feeding his base, and they seem to be enjoying it a whole lot. But something else happened since yesterday to try to sort all this out on maybe why Germany and these other countries aren't spending. And you made the point yesterday, if things are so bad and so dangerous, why aren't they really doing it? Why would we have to tell them and threaten them? You either do this or else, or we're going to sanction you if you don't spend more money buying our weapons. But they did a little poll in Germany, and guess what? The people say, you know, we don't even want you here. We want you spending less. I don't know what the percentage is. I'm sure there are factions there. But at least that poll revealed that there's a lot of Germans that would like to send us home, which would be very good for them and very good for us and very good for peace.
Yeah, the poll was asking, about this promise to spend a lot more on spending and how the Germans feel about 35,000 U.S. troops in Germany. More Germans said they should leave in that case, then think they should stay. Interesting about the poll is that the Alliance for Germany, the AfD, they were the highest, their supporters were the highest who wanted Americans to go, and the far left. But, you know, this is another thing where Trump said, hey, Germans, if you don't pay up for NATO, we're going to pull our troops out. And Germany said, okay, that sounds fine. So how threatened do they feel?
Well, that's a good sign for us, too, that maybe more Americans will join in. But, you know, When in Congress, I had a bill that I introduced with Barney Frank, and it was mainly dealing with this issue. There was a lot we didn't agree on, but on this issue, we were trying to target in on this whole thing. Why are we spending so much money in Europe? There are wealthy countries, and so we agreed on that. But we really didn't get much support. We never got it to a vote or anything, but we tried to make this point. But it seems like the Congress, certainly, they're not going to come around. But the American people don't just seem to be too concerned either. You know, it's not even on their radar. They're saying, well, we have to cut some spending somewhere because deficits don't matter. Unfortunately, the prevailing attitude in economics is Keynesianism. Deficits are no problem, and if you run up deficit, you print the money at the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. So,
but I did want to go over another issue today.
Our main topic, which is a painful topic.
has to do with, we're planning a trip. We're planning a trip. It's a secret. No. We have to get to Washington to our conference. 18th of
August.
August
18th.
And I don't like the TSA.
No.
I struggle with them. And sometimes I get close to getting into trouble with them.
Yeah.
But right now, we know if you say boo, your name gets put on a list.
Yeah.
So you're a threat to the state. So once reviewing this subject, because there was a court case that said that you can't sue the government. Oh, who is shocked over that? Why would they let us do that because of these assaults at the airport?
Yeah.
But it's making me think, even though I've thought about it before, maybe I should just drive to our destinations. And right now, the shorter distances, we should drive. But we have a whole generation that weren't even, just coming of age, weren't even born on 9/11. They don't remember when there was more freedom and you went to airports and you casually, you walked in and walked down the corridor and waited at the gate for your party to come in.
Exactly.
But that doesn't happen. But today, we were wanted to visit about this court ruling. I said, you don't have a right to sue. It's sovereignty of the government, and you don't have a right to do this, which has been around for a long time. All they have to do is make an excuse, and the excuse is to protect us and safety. And once again, they've honed in on this whole idea, and people have accepted this, that the purpose of government is to make us safe and secure, economically and physically, spiritually and academically secure, so the government has to take over our entire lives. So that fits into their model quite easily. And so the government there is at the airport to instruct us. But did we show some pictures, of, I guess, on this too?
Of the abuses.
Show the abuse.
And the whole case was around an event that happened in 2006. A business consultant named Nadine Pellegrino, she was pulled aside for special screening, and she objected to it. She went to a private screening. She objected to how invasive the screening was. I guess she got a little bit irritated at what they were doing, and she ended up jailed for 18 hours and charged with several criminal charges. And so she sued, and the case has gone through the courts. Now it just went through the appeals court, and the appeals court ruled, I think, 2-1. Essentially, we have no redress for anything the TSA does to us. Any assault, anything in the course of the duty, they can do whatever they want, and there's not a doggone thing we can do about it.
And the slightest bit of resistance or even a comment, that can get you into big trouble. So it's really sad. You know, to me, the principle here is how much can governments do without getting penalized? And the theory, of course, in a free society is government agents aren't allowed to do anything you and I aren't permitted to do.
Yeah.
So if we can't do it at our store or on our airplanes and do this and violate people's rights, why are government agents allowed to do this? And they set up all kinds of things to break the law. You know, and this is, to me, breaking the law or their interpretation of law. But governments now are permitted to break the law for these sting operations, the entrapment. And I believe it should be absolutely, illegal for the government to go in and participate in law breaking and drag some innocent jerk along with them. We got them.
Yeah.
You know, and they do that on these drug raids and things like that because they have to build up their prosecution rates.
Yeah, and I always opt out of the machine, and people say, that's stupid, why would you do that? I do it because it's kind of the only form of protest I have. It forces them to do a little something extra. And of course, they resent it. When you opt out, they wait, they take their sweet time, and meanwhile, my computer and everything that I possess is sitting out there for anyone to pick up and do what they wish with. They don't care about that. They take their sweet time. But now, if there's no redress with this court ruling, what is going to be the result? What's the message to the TSA screeners, who I can tell you from personal experience, their pat-downs or whatever they want to call them have become so aggressive that it's unbelievable, extremely painful and uncomfortable. What's going to be the result? They're going to be encouraged to get even more aggressive. Why not?
Right, and I think purposely they make the rules confusing. They'll change them at one airport, but not the other one. I have pre-screening, pre-check. And that's supposed to help us a little bit, but it doesn't help me at all. I still have to go through this whole ritual. The rules, though, if you're pre-screened, you don't take off your shoes and you don't take off your belt and you don't do this, and you have a little bit of an effort. But if you happen to have some metal in your elbow or in your knee, it's over and done with. You know, you can't do anything. And therefore, then they'll come up with new rules. Airports are different than in different places. So I think they do this on purpose to get people upset, and they're able to do that.
You know, our good friend Jim Bovard, who we've had on the show and we've known for decades, one of the great libertarian writers pro-freedom writers. He had a great piece out in USA Today in the spring, and he had discovered that the TSA has created a secret watch list for what it terms troublesome passengers. And this is something that was supposed to be secret. It's not people who punch the TSA agent or who step on their feet or, you know, poke their eyes out. No, it's just for people who they don't like. And here's a couple of the quotes. Any behavior that is offensive and without legal justification, they'll write it down. Any challenges to the safe and effective completion of screening, then you go on their bad list. What do they do with the bad list? They don't know. As Jim wrote, any woman who pushes a screener's hands away from her breasts, which normal people, that's just a reaction that you can't, look, you're on the list. Next time they'll probably do it twice as bad.
Where I get into trouble with the screener is I go through the screener. You handle it differently. I go through because in theory, I'm supposed to sail through there because I'm pre-checked and I look safe. Besides, I've had top secret clearance on a couple of occasions, over the years. But every time I go through, you come through and the authoritarian there stands there. He says, oh, take a look at that. And I won't look. I don't want to look at it. Mm-hmm. I said, it doesn't mean anything. And that gets annoyed.
Yeah.
And no, take a look at this. This is what I want to show you what's going on. I says, it doesn't mean anything. And one time when I explained it to them, that is when they said they call the police. Because I said, look, let me walk through this once before. You can't duplicate that because I had to do it twice once.
Yeah.
And the picture is absolutely different. It has no value. Who gets the best deal in it? The guys that make those machines.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the expense of those machines? And they're totally unreliable. And I think Jim Bovard has pointed out the success of catching bad guys. They catch a lot of us, a lot of us who are resentful of the loss of our liberties, but they don't catch anybody who's threatening our liberties. I don't think they've ever found a terrorist.
No, I don't think so. And I would say people might be watching the show saying, come on, Dr. Paul, these people keep us safe. Why are you complaining? Do you want to get taken down by terrorists? Well, as Bovard pointed out, and as you said, TSA is one of the most incompetent agencies on earth. Just last year, Homeland Security ran a test system-wide to figure out how well they were with detecting mock threats. They failed 80% of the time. In one airport, they failed 95% of the time trying to find a bomb. So they're not keeping us safe. They couldn't if they wanted to. All they're doing is conditioning us to submit to their authority and do what the state tells us to do.
When this came up after 9/11, we were there in the Congress and I was voting on this, and of course it annoyed me to no end what was happening, because it's under those kind of conditions when people act very emotionally and they don't reason and they don't care about the Constitution, because it was said to me too often during that period of time, Ron, you don't understand, you have to sacrifice liberty to be safe, which was very annoying. But the choice was there to have sort of a fascist system where, just hire a big corporation to come in and take care of the whole thing, or the government would be taking over. Not a very good choice. What they didn't give us a choice, unless we defeated both those choices, would be the responsibility is on the ownership. The airlines are responsible to make you safe and keep you secure. And they say, and the airlines weren't very anxious to assume that responsibility. They sort of like the taxpayers paying for this, and then all these problems come up. Then they can blame the government.
And the TSA, what is its incentive? Its incentive is any government bureaucracy is to grow its bureaucracy. So it has to justify its existence and to justify a certain level of growth for the future. So they actually benefit from their failures. Hey, 80% failure rate, it's not our fault. If you guys would just give us some more resources, we would have that number down to zero. Whereas the airlines, they have every incentive in the world to keep you the safest at the lowest cost to them, to keep the bottom line right. So if you look at just pure incentives, it makes most sense to have the airlines do it.
And there are some pretty good examples of how that's happened, over the many, many years, that private industries, are able to protect themselves. I use this analogy in the debate on this. I said, it looks like we are more capable of protecting our money and solving the problems of keeping our money safe than the people, because of the armored vehicles hauling money all around.
Yeah.
Basically, they never get robbed. And at Dow Chemical Plant, that's just a mile from here, all the security is private. you know, they can't depend on the government for that. But unfortunately, emotions and the airlines were anxious to have this. And to me, the biggest disappointment is there's no outrage. People just say, well, that's the way it is. And we have, what, about five people in the Congress that would really say, Ron, Daniel, you really got it going there. We need to do something about this. There's not even a movement in Congress to wake people up and look at this. And I guess this will last for a long, long time.
You know, it's easy to make this analogy, but you can see how authoritarian and totalitarian regimes come to power because people, they just don't want it. They just accept a little bit more. The screw turns tighter, accept a little bit more without saying anything. But going back to Bovard again, because there's another great point, and it just sort of segues into the conclusion, I guess, is he writes about this. He's an airline captain, James Lindlord, 2016 at Dulles Airport. The TSA karate chopped his testicles so violently that he had to have surgery. So he filed a complaint, and here's what the Department of Justice, our favorite department, argued, quote, there is no law establishing a specific degree of permissible intrusiveness of a security screening pat-down. Essentially, they're saying Congress has not told us how far we can go, so we can go as far as karate chopping the heck out of you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Sometimes I think that the civil liberties of that individual who's violent has committed a robbery in the inner city, people are more worried about protecting them, rather than innocent civilians trying to fly on an airline. So I think it's all mixed up, but they start off with the wrong premise that the main purpose of government is safety, and that's wrong because you lose everything if all you want is to be safety. You know, that's the goal of taking care of cattle.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because you have to protect your property. And the way it is now, this is what they think about. It's just the safety. It means they have economic control, personal control. And we have to be safe because we don't want to have people reading the wrong kind of books or being exposed to the wrong time of internet programming. Yeah. And we got to protect the people against all these bad things.
Exactly. You know, I can't let this pass without mentioning, Dr. Paul, you made an exciting announcement yesterday. Nassim Nicholas Taleb is going to join us on October 18th at our conference in Washington, D.C., Washington Dulles Airport Marriott, ronpaulinstitute.org/conference. If you've not heard of Taleb, he's one of the most important intellectuals of our time. Not only is he a brilliant investor, massively successful investor, New York Times number one best-selling author, he's also an expert in Middle East politics. He has homes in Lebanon. He knows an enormous amount about the Levant and about Syria. His insights are incredible. If you haven't read The Black Swan, if you're not familiar with it, just Google it. Google Skin in the Game, his latest book. Huge book, huge success. And you're going to find out when you read a little bit more about him, if you're not already familiar with him, which you should be, you're going to run and get tickets, and we'll be happy to see you there.
Very, very good, and I hope we see a lot of people there, and it looks like we're going to have a good turnout. But I want to just close with a statement about the subject, about the screeners at the airport and what was happening before 9/11. Actually, the government had already been involved, and they were more or less in charge, and there was a dependency on them. But they had a couple rules, because early on, the decade before 9/11, there had been a lot of hijacking. So they had certain rules that no guns. Pilots couldn't have guns, and you did what the hijackers said. So there was, and do not resist. And so that was a pretty good setup. So what happened, of course, is the tragedy of 9/11. And what liberals won't ever emphasize is, guess what? It was all accomplished without a gun. It wasn't the gun, it wasn't the necessity of a gun to do this vicious, vicious crime. At the same time, if private owners could have the gun, that airlines, if they could have had the guns, and it's legalized now, but it's still not the assumption that is necessary. I think we're much safer on the airplanes because they should have been doing that even before 9/11. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.